Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome back to another Heat Check edition of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy. I'm your host, Tyler Furness. With me, as always, is Fred, whose wife called me to tell me that he smells like Newports and BK. How are you, sir?
I doubt that she'd have to call you to tell you that. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
You know what? I'm doing great. And we're doing especially great today because it isn't just us. And it isn't just the Hungy cat. It isn't just Odie. We have the Seal Clubber himself, Mr. Warren Hayes, joining the show to talk about AEW Dynasty. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much, guys, for having me. It's going to be a blast. I love the show. You both know I listen to you guys. It's tremendous. And I'm really, really excited to do a heat check. And I'm really, really excited for the Newports and BK smell to waft over me as well, so that, finally I'll be able to have a reason to interact with my neighbors when they call me to say, hey, could you tone the smells down a bit, pal?
I got to say, I worked at a Buffalo Wild Wings when I was 20, and everybody smoked but me, because of course smoking just never appealed to me. But half of the guys were white dudes who smoked Newports, and it's hilarious because anytime I hear Newports and BK, I always think back to my days as a cook in Fargo, North Dakota, where you walk out back and all you do is smell chicken wings and Newports, and it reminds me so much of the old days.
That's a hell of a combo. That's a hell of a smell. Isn't it the scent, the sense of smell that is the one that's tied most to your memories, right? Mm-hmm. I can only imagine, that precise combination that you need to get the memories of your old job and hanging on in the back. It's very precise. We're going to have to work on that. Maybe like an old maybe a cologne, you need something like that.
I was about to say men and women will put on either perfume or cologne and use that to kind of rekindle or bring a memory back for like their significant other, like a wedding cologne or something like that. We do need to talk about something that stinks, Fred, and I'm gonna let you kind of take the lead on it, and that is the Oklahoma Athletic Commission. They go bigoted against Nyla Rose, and it is as simple as they are enacting transphobia, but it's also a little bit more nuanced than that. Why don't you take it away?
Yeah, so when did this happen? December. Nyla Rose worked a dark match against Alejandra the Lion. Oklahoma is a commission state for pro wrestling. So they will not, their rules say they won't approve sanctioning permits between males and females. And they define male and female by chromosomes. And then they had a whole meeting about how dare Nyla Rose wrestle a woman, despite Nyla Rose being a woman. They were like, we're going to send a sternly worded letter to AEW and warn them to never do this again. Because they're also apparently going after intergender matches currently in their state. Today, Tony Khan is doing his media call ahead of Dynasty, and Amy Nemity was on it and asked about the letter, and Khan said This is per Brandon Thurston tweet. Said he was disappointed by the commission's decision and that warning. He doesn't think AEW did anything wrong, and he's really shocked by it. Khan says he doesn't think there should be discrimination against transgender wrestlers or transgender people. He stands by Nyla Rose, says she's a great wrestler and a great person. Samantha Shipman follows up asking if AEW will continue to run events in Oklahoma. Khan is noncommittal. He says he'll do anything they can to support their fans in Oklahoma. It's something they'll have to think about. So yeah, just a really incredibly pathetic turn of events by the Oklahoma state government. Maybe somewhat selfishly, I was hoping that Tony Khan would come out, stronger on this. But a little fire and brimstone from him, but that's what we got. And it's a terribly dopey situation. Nyla Rose doesn't deserve this. Oklahoma has been pushing various other anti-trans laws recently, and it's a pathetic situation all around by them.
It is a pathetic situation all around, and I think I can speak for this panel that says Oklahoma and the Athletic Commission, go fuck yourselves. Just be respectful, man. Treat people the way you want to be treated, and this is not how you'd want to be treated, so don't do it. But I want to ask a more business analytical question because, Fred, I think you bring up an interesting point with those Tony Khan comments about wanting to take care of the fans that are wrestling in Oklahoma. How do you delicately balance sending a big FU to the Athletic Commission by never coming to Oklahoma and also not necessarily turning away the fans in Oklahoma that are big supporters of your company by never going to that state? The general thought would be, okay, they're going to be transphobes. We're not going to go there, but you're essentially disenfranchising your entire Oklahoma fan base by never stepping foot into the state again. Like you kind of get where I'm going here. How do you kind of balance that out? How do you handle this, that kind of situation? Because it's not always as black and white as it may seem, even though the like common sense and the compassion side of you would say, just never go back.
Yeah. I think the response there would be, are you asking me, a person with, relatively few dollars in my bank account? Or are you asking Tony Khan, a person with many more dollars in his bank account? Cause if you're Tony Khan and you want to take a stand and you want to spend the money, then, I think you got more money than Oklahoma. So if that's a fight you want to pick, that's a fight you could take. I am reminded of trying to find the show name right now, but there was a WWE pay-per-view that I want to say occurred in, it must have been Velocity 2003. No, that's not right. Backlash in 2006 that took place in Kentucky. And if I recall correctly, it featured someone blading, and that was against the rules of the state commission. And so they fined WWE, and WWE responded by not running another televised event in Kentucky for 3 years. They didn't even run a Raw there until May 2009, which was over 3 years after Backlash in April 2006. If you don't want to run in Oklahoma, ain't no rule says you gotta. Oklahoma is not the big state. Doing Google stuff right now. Their biggest cities are Oklahoma City and Tulsa, I do believe, which are not like massive, but they aren't tiny either. Let's, just be clear. It's the 28th most populous state in the union. And, I think you can probably be all right if you don't bop to Oklahoma for one of your TV shows. That's their call. If they want to take the stand, I don't think it's really going to hurt AEW financially. You can feel bad for the fans there. As someone that lives in a state that has dopey political opinions that I don't agree with, it's not fun sometimes. It's a not great situation, but it's up to you to determine where you're going to take your stance if you are going to take one.
I agree completely. It's for me, it's it would be more about, you know, taking care of the fans that are already in the state that are being negatively affected on the side. And I think that's where the the major discussion point lies, because I think you taking a stand is the right thing to do. But Warren, what do you think about this whole situation and kind of how AEW is and how they should handle it?
First of all, it's the kind of situation that hits a little close to home. I am the father of a beautiful, brilliant trans boy, so these kinds of situations always kind of hit home. And I always hope for strong stances. You know, when the question popped up, and I saw the answer, I was kind of hoping that Tony would have been a little more, you know, burn it down kind of position, where it's like, it's an athletic commission, right? Which is, ultimately when it comes to pro wrestling, is always a little fishy to begin with. The long history of athletic commissions in pro wrestling is right there to back that up. So, you know, what does he have to gain and what does he have to lose really by just outright saying, Oklahoma's making terrible decisions and it's, you know, and it is not, instead of him putting himself in a position where he's saying, I want to serve my clients well, put the onus on the athletic commission saying they are doing a disservice to pro wrestling fans in Oklahoma by doing this. They, you know, so on and so forth. I would have liked a stronger stance. That being said, I've been around corporations for a long, long time. And I don't expect companies to be so willingly open to just striking a match and setting fire to an existing relationship, whatever you want to call it, only in the pure name of doing something morally good. You know, this is just how companies work, right? A company exists to make money. You and I, all of us three here, all of you listening, we exist because we have air, we have oxygen. That's how we live. You know, we eat, we drink. A company has to make money. The minute that it doesn't, it ceases to exist. There's no reason for it to exist. It disappears. So that will always be the first concern of any company. Moral issues will be secondary, sometimes tertiary, sometimes worse. So, you know, the position that Tony took was amenable. I think it was fine. He didn't outright say, you know, Oklahoma, you know, it doesn't really matter. We'll just go back and Nyla, she won't be on the card. Like, at least he didn't go that route and he supported his employees, his staff. That's good. But ultimately, I would have liked a stronger stance. I would have liked something with a little more meat to it. He could have turned this easily he could have turned the steam around onto Oklahoma instead of him taking the brunt of it. But hey, you know, who knows? Maybe next time they go, they'll have Nyla Rose in the main event. And I think that would be pretty funny. And I'm sure Nyla would love it too.
I think what would be extra funny is if you called up Effie and just booked an entire big gay brunch for Dynamite. That would be absolutely phenomenal content and a tremendous FU to Oklahoma. But my read on the situation is that I don't think he wanted to take a hardcore stance until he and the office kind of figured out how they wanted to pursue it. And my guess is they're probably talking with Nyla and other people about how to best pursue it to get the best possible result in a positive way. Because sometimes, you know, going cutthroat isn't necessarily the best way to make that stand to get what you want. Sometimes it is. And yeah. I think that inclusive philosophy is probably the route they're going. But we'll find out. This is all pretty new. It's only about 24 hours old as far as we're talking about it. And I think if Khan had more time before the media call that had just happened, then I think maybe we would have gotten that stronger stance. But the fact that he's non-committal to going to Oklahoma again, I think is an objectively good thing.
What I do think would be very funny that they would do is just do a 2 hour long Dynamite about Nyla Rose with her doing like one of those Tokyo Joshi Pro or Stardom style gauntlet matches, you know, like they do sometimes, and just have a go for, you know, the entire show. Who cares?
Oh, I'd love it. It reminds me of when Seth Rollins opened up Raw with one of those gauntlet matches that people were claiming was like 5 stars. Like,
yeah,
I think that'd be tremendous content. But we have a lot to get to today. Let's move on. And as the story gets updated, we will provide more updates and context as well. Per Cassie Haynes of Bodyslam.net, the Motor City Machine Guns, Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, are heading to AEW. Good. Have them come out after the ladder match and beat the piss out of whoever wins the titles, and let's go.
Motor City.
Oh, please get the music. Please.
They need the music. It's essential. But, yeah, I mean, it should be a good pickup. I'd like to see AEW continue to do more tag stuff. That was a nice defining feature in the early days of the company that I think they've moved away from too much. And, look, Shelley and Sabin are still really, really good. I'm working on my cage match top wrestlers of 2023 post, where I have to go through and assign points for roughly 2,500 matches off of cage match. So I will probably finish it by 2026. But I can tell you Shelley and Sabin are like, we're well into the list now, and they're going to finish in the top 50 for last year. I mean, they both had phenomenal years. I feel like it's kind of a silly move by TNA to not try to retain them. And I feel like it's a great pickup by AEW. I think they'll fit right in. I think they're custom made for AEW, and I think they'll be great additions.
I am in complete agreement. I have no objections to them being in AEW for the same reasons Fred said. AEW did part of what built AEW was the idea that tag team wrestling could main event shows, you know, remember all of this. And yes, it has slipped since it's not quite the same. Look, if you want to get serious about bringing back tag team wrestling and making it a centerpiece of the show, go right ahead. And, you know, I'm really happy about this because, you know, both these guys are, you know, they're getting older at the same time. They've been doing this for a long time. And they're one of these great North American tag teams that, you know, if this weren't to happen, if they didn't get a national exposure, of course, we're talking about this before the actual run starts. But, they would go down in history of one of the great what ifs. You know, what if they had broken out on the big stage, you know, on any bigger promotion? How would the fans have reacted? What would their career would have looked like, and so on and so forth? Now, you know, they're not as spry, not as young, but they can still go. It'll be interesting to see how this develops and how this what if scenario is actually coming into reality to a certain degree. We'll be able to see, well, okay, here we go. Now we're going to expose the Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin to millions of people. Let's see how we react to it. So I'm thrilled for them, quite frankly. Very, very thrilled.
Yeah, I'm excited too. And the only time that the Motor City Machine Guns have ever wrestled in All Elite Wrestling was, I believe, All Out 2022, when they were brought in for a 6-man tag, and they weren't really necessarily treated like a big deal, but I guarantee they'll be treated like a big deal if and when they come in. A couple of interesting addendums to the Spanish announced team. Sorry, one addendum. Carlos Cabrera has joined the Spanish announced team for AEW. And if you might remember Carlos Cabrera from all the pay-per-views where they kicked it to the Spanish announced team, Carlos Cabrera was the one calling the matches. And Ricardo Gallegos of Los Lucha Jobbers, the Spanish wrestling podcast on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network, says that he's basically a god to fans in Latin America. So will this make an impact in the Latin America audience? There's a real chance. The whole reason why AEW brought in Jim Ross, as much as we've been critical of him, was because he is a legend in the eyes of many North American fans, especially because a lot of us grew up with him. So that's an interesting addition. And I mean, it's better than Conan, so we'll take it.
low bar there. Yeah, it should be a good pickup. I think the Jim Ross comparison sounds very much like that. I think it can't hurt. You know, AEW's Spanish announced team has gotten criticism in the past. I think Ricardo has spoken at length about how earlier versions of it really sucked with sometimes the announcers not really knowing Spanish, which is not good. Seems like that kind of defeats the purpose of the team, but hey, I think it's a good pickup.
It's a tremendous pickup. The comparisons to Jim Ross are absolutely on point. The guy is a legend. He's trusted. You know, he's just one of these guys. You'll listen. He's trusted. People love him. And you know, it makes you wonder. Just it's sort of puts into perspective maybe a little more how the Spanish language market is going to play a role in AEW's growth over the next couple of years. Tony obviously sees something in this. Like if he's bringing Cabrera in, that absolutely means that he sees the market there. Coincidence that we have been working more with CMLL? I think not. I sense a pattern here, fellas. I think there's something here that might be going on in AEW's mind for specifically for growth. I'd be very curious to see what his strategy is for the next couple of years. He being TK.
That strategy is Rocky Romero. I think that's been laid in stone for a little bit.
I mean, look, we can't speak enough about power broker Rocky Romero and just how instrumental he's been in the development of pro wrestling over the past 2 to 3 years. And maybe I'm lowballing this, but I think it's been very apparent how influential he's been. And the fact that he's office now for AEW and he has these tremendous relationships everywhere. Like, this is a guy who's boots on the ground, who understands the business. He's not just a guy booking his pals, you know. This is a guy who's connected to audiences, you know, in three different countries that have three completely different perceptions of what pro wrestling is. And he's able to merge this all together and somehow get all these people working together. And it works. Look, there's a lot of good here. We can't undersell Rocky either on that front, but the Spanish language market, there's clearly stuff that they want to tap into very seriously here.
Never forget Rocky Romero beating El Fantasmo in the main event at Corican Hall, Best of Super Juniors 2019. Go back and watch it. I think that was my number six match of the year that year. I love that match. One of the better performances I've ever seen from Rocky, but let's move on because we have a lot to get to.
I'll speed run these.
You speed run them. I will kick back in my chair and relax.
All right, dude.
Yeah, don't ask me for my opinion because I add 5 minutes to every topic.
I don't know anyone that have too many opinions on these next couple notes. Adam Copeland said in an interview with Mostly Sports that he thinks he has about 12 to 18 months left in his career. Warren, what number do you think it'll be between those? Right now, we'll go.
18 months.
Okay, there we go. Rampage will be live at 10 p.m. immediately after Collision this week. What's your favorite 10 p.m. show you've ever seen, Warren? Go.
Grey's Anatomy.
Okay, there we go. And Riho is in Japan working on renewing her visa. Unclear when she'll be back. Name a city in Japan that's not Tokyo, Warren.
Kyoto.
There we go. All right. Hey, let's talk about this a little bit. Matt Hardy is officially a free agent. He declined the contract that AEW offered him. Apparently wasn't happy. Hey, good for you. Get what you think you deserve 100%. Warren, we talked about this the past few weeks, me and Tyler. I don't think that either of us really see a way for Matthew Hardy to be much of a contributor to AEW these days. It feels like he's very much fallen off the front page and then a few more pages and is kind of back in the glossary at this point. Do you think that there is a place for him in 2024 AEW? Because frankly, we don't, I think. Is
fair no. To
say. All right, cool. Don't.
No, it's like, he did what he had to do. He came in during the pandemic. I'm glad he had, a good breath of fresh air outside of WWE when they released him. And But yeah, like it's kind of been downhill from that point on. Post pandemic, it hasn't been great, and injuries and Jeff and whatnot. No, I think it's fine. I think we're good. I don't know who can get excited about the Hardys in the year of our Lord 2024. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I think there's still some value in Jeff because of name value, and I think he still has some ability, at least the ability to still fall off of tall things.
But it's a nostalgia thing, right? I think at this point we have to come to grips that the Hardy Boys are a nostalgia act at this point. 100%. And that's fine. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm sure they'll be able to make lovely bookings and signings and whatnot moving forward. But, you know, they're sitting back and they're waiting for Paul to call with the Legends contract. That's what they're doing right now.
Yeah, and I think that, Matt, I was kind of alarmed by how much of a hard time it looked like he had just moving around, doing basic stuff in the ring. Like, and by basic stuff, I mean walking. It wasn't great. I didn't think we'd get to the day where Jeff looked like he was in better physical shape, but I guess we're here. You know, I don't, and I think for Matt, sorry to, as I just say, call him Mart for some reason. I think for Matt to be a difference maker in any promotion right now, he needs time, obviously, but he also needs to go back to, if not outright, you know, cinematic matches, something along those lines, where I think it would very much kind of dominate the show. And I think steer AEW in a direction that I don't think really is in the best interest of the promotion.
Yeah. Bye, Matt Hardy. Bye, Jeff Hardy. I hope you find a way to make a lot of money, but not in this company, please. Fred, before we get on to the main event today of the Heat Check, you found something really nerdy and interesting on the Observer. Why don't you kind of break it down?
Sure. Dave Meltzer in last week's Observer, while I was scrolling through it, trying to make sure I didn't miss anything we talked about in the news section this week, said that he reached out to someone from the prior generation and is also one of the more noted trainers about the preponderance of bloody mouths in wrestling. I'm willing to bet $1 that it was Lance Storm. That just reads extremely Lance Stormish to me, but that's just a guess. Dave also wrote, keep in mind that this was a response about WWE. The problem is not just WWE. And so he asked him, you know, why do you think that there's more bloody mouths in wrestling now? And part of it, Dave himself said, that was there's more risky stunts and it's harder hitting, but he thought there's more to it. And the response he got from this mystery Lance Storm was that I think it's due to Vince's idiocy years ago where he made everyone cover up when being punched. I was joking about it being Lance Storm. They could very well be. No one has a clear target anymore. They just throw hard, fast hands in the general area. Sometimes they are blocked or deflected. Other times you get tagged. I was always taught you present a clear, unmoving target and taught to hit that target with a safe work punch. That's not the way anymore, at least not in WWE. Guys are moving their head, throwing their hands and forearms up in the way, so guys just throw punches wherever. Go watch people punch in 2002 or before. They all had a clear target, then watch all the idiocy of guys getting their hands and forearms up and in the way. Another aspect from someone there who watched the teaching method said that they teach guys on TV to be aggressive and intense, but for safety reasons, try to miss the target by 6 to 8 inches so nobody gets hurt. So that is what they are taught to do on shows, but on TV, they have to close that gap because it would look bad, and that's what can result. Regarding AEW and other places, because this is not a WWE-specific issue, the response was, so many people who were never taught to actually hit your target with a work strike now throw head kicks. They throw kicks at your head and face and just tell you to get your hands up. If you don't get them upright, you get tagged. People aren't taught properly anymore. I just thought that was incredibly interesting, kind of ignoring that last sentence, which is a little, you know, old man yells at clouds, I think. I think it's, you know, I do think there's a lot more bloody mouths, busted lips, etc. these days than there used to be. And it's just interesting to see and kind of think about why that's happening. I don't think it's like a major health concern, really, though I do worry about strikes to the head to some extent. Looking at Julia, the shoot head butter. Just something that, you know, to think about. I just thought it was an interesting series of notes.
I'll say this. I'd rather have a bloody mouth than a concussion. So I think the aim of being lower might objectively be better. But I'd honestly be curious about what Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, has to say about that.
Yeah.
just because it does, like, not even memeing, like, it's by your teeth. And yeah, like, even if you have strong teeth and strong roots, you hit that sucker just right, it's gone.
Yeah. And then you look like Mark Briscoe. But that's it for news and notes this week. So y'all ready for a heat check?
Oh, that's why we're here, Fred.
Oh, wonderful. So let's go ahead and get started. So what I'll do is I'll go through the card, and then each match we will give our opinion on if the how excited we are for the match on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most excited and 1 being not excited at all. We have 10 matches on the card as of right now. I'm going to just go through them in the Wikipedia article, which should be, you know, generally generally correct, I should say, about how that order is going to go. So, announced for the pre-show last night, main event at any building, we have the acclaimed and 2024 Billy Gunn facing the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, or I guess just the Bang Bang Gang. I apologize. The scissors have been removed. Jay White, Austin Gunn, and Colton Gunn in a match that is going to unify the AEW World Trios and Ring of Honor World Six-Man Tag Team Championships. Tyler, I'll start with you. Out of tradition, 1 to 10, how excited are you for this match?
10, because hopefully this will be done.
I am at 1 because it's happening. Warren.
Like, at this point, there's... it's gonna happen, and you know what, maybe the match can actually be good because there are some pretty good workers in it. I just want the storyline to be over, and likely with the unification the storyline will end, so I am at a 10. Just get it done with and get somebody like Jay White onto something fun and interesting. I also hope Juice Robinson comes back, because I think that'd be cool.
Maybe we'll just get like a 15-minute match where 14 minutes of it is Billy Gunn bullying everyone else because he's just so darn big. Warren, what is your opinion, 1 to 10?
I hate it when mom and dad fight, so I'm gonna be a 5.
Coward.
Because I'm so over the acclaimed. I've been over the acclaimed for since the acclaimed basically started, and it's not for me. I'm excited for it to be done. I also echo the sentiments for Jay White. But there is something infinitely funny about 2024 Billy Gunn and wrestling like he's got the Brock Lesnar push. Like, that really makes me, I think it's funny, and I deride entertainment from that. Other than that, I'm with y'all. Let's just get this over with.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion that, like, Jay White's very good. I think the guns are improving. They've at least 100% figured out the non-wrestling aspect of this stuff. Wrestling, they're okay. I think Bowens and Caster, like, genuinely showed promise as, like, you know, if you don't like the gimmick, that's fair. But I think as just, like, a tag team, they looked pretty capable when they first won the belts. And then they just went full shtick and have been ever since. And it feels like it's just gone on forever. And they've gotten very stale. So it's very frustrating.
I still think Anthony Bowens is a tremendous prospect. I think he's got a lot of upside. And it's crazy how the guns have just become cooler by association with Jay White.
Yeah, like Juice Robinson.
But mostly Jay White.
Yeah. I don't know. Juice is... I've always enjoyed Juice. Just like,
oh, sure. No, I like Juice. But Jay White is cool, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, Juice is cool in that, like,
is he cool?
Five STDs way.
Okay.
I think he has to contact every gimmick wise. He has to contact every Department of Health in every state he goes to. Let him know. That's a joke about his character, not him as a person. Please don't get mad at me. I actually like him a lot.
Don't send that to the Oklahoma Athletic Commission. Yeah,
they'd be fine with it. Adam, our next trios match is Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe against the Spooky House of Black, Malachi Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews. Warren, as our guest, 1 to 10, where are you with this one?
I'd say I'm at about a 6. I like all the workers in this match. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I've become Adam Copeland has won me over in AEW. That was not a given, and he's done that. I enjoy everyone in this, but the match doesn't feel particularly hot. But I'm sure it'll be a blast. No one stinks in this six-man setup. Like, no one stinks. And if Malakai and Buddy feel like working, it'll be fun as hell. But they haven't been showing up to work over the past few weeks, so I don't know. You know, too busy keeping the phone line free for that call from Paul, I guess. But yeah, no, overall, like, my excitement is six, but I'm going to enjoy this match. I just know it.
Tyler.
I mean, how can you not be excited to see the debut of the Rated Chicken Hawks? Like, it's very, very exciting. I'm right around a six or a seven myself. I love watching Malakai Black wrestle when he actually has the working boots on. I think he's underrated a little bit, and he gets trashed a lot or talked in a more of a negative context because of some of the outside the ring stuff, the character work, or the wanting to go back to WWE and never wanting to lose, like those kind of narratives. But once he's in the ring, I really enjoy watching him work because he's got more of that martial arts style, but he doesn't come off like a martial artist. He comes off like a kickboxer, somebody that just wants to, like, as Brian Daniels says, kick your head in. And I really enjoy watching him work. Brody King is arguably the best big man in the business right now because of how he's able to kind of utilize his size and throw his weight around while also not outshining is the wrong word, but making guys who are smaller than him feel smaller than him in a metaphorical context. Like that coffin match with Darby Allin at Quake at the Lake back a couple years ago, I think, was a prime example. He didn't make Darby feel like a lesser of a man. He elevated him. And I think that's so pivotal for a big man. I love watching Brody King work. I wish these guys had more of a presence on television because they are so entertaining, but we know why they aren't. It is what it is. But I enjoy watching him wrestle, and I can't wait to see what this is. And let's be honest, the whatchamacallit, this mishmash of a team, it's going to set something up.
Yeah.
I'm on mute. Yep. I think that I'm at a seven. It could actually turn into a great match if they're given like 15 minutes. I just don't know if they will be. You know, we've talked about Malakai and also Buddy Matthews, just like, especially those two disappearing into the ether points, just like kind of being like, all right, our work here is done. It's like the Sailor Moon, but you didn't do anything meme. Just like spinning around with the cape. I feel like they do that sometimes, but they're good performers, and this should be a good match. Next up, a main event in any building, a Chris Jericho challenging Hook for the FTW Championship. It should be noted that the rules are FTW style. Bounce it back to Tyler. What do you got 1 to 10 on this one?
4. I really could care less about the match. The only real intrigue I have is, what are we going to evolve this into? Well, what's the end goal here for Hook? What is the end goal here with Taz's involvement? Are we going to get Taz getting physical because of what happened on Dynamite last night? I just think this is so stale. Hook is just becoming less and less believable over the course of time. It feels like he's playing a character and he's not himself. Like, those who are great at this, they're always playing a character, but it feels real. It feels like they're just being themselves. Hook feels like he's a cosplay, and they need to figure that out. When he's actually wrestling, hey, he's green, but that feels real. Anytime there's any kind of real character work, it's just, I get lost, and it's very frustrating. So I want to see some evolution. I want to see some real character growth and development from Hook, or at least we're on a pathway to getting there, because right now he feels like a big swing and a miss. And we talked about this the other week, Fred. AEW's actual development is really lacking right now, and I think guys like Hook and Wardlow are two of the few examples where you can actually claim that they are AEW developed wrestlers. You have people like Britt Baker, Hangman Page. They all came from indies. Like, and it's the same thing we've talked about with NXT for years. Most of their big names worked on the indies for a long time. That doesn't count. That's not your project. That's not you actually taking somebody and making them. And I think AEW has a little bit of a difficult problem right now because they don't have any background. And, well, Hook's not doing so great.
What about you, Warren? What are your thoughts on it?
I'm at a six. I feel like I'm the only person left on Earth who's still entertained by Chris Jericho. It's like, you know, every time he comes on, it's like, oh, sucking the air out of the room. Oh, the piss break or, you know, whatever. That's what you see going around. And I'm like, but it's Chris Jericho. And I feel like this role that he's given himself now, is, you know, the kind of the disingenuous sleazebag mentor. It works for him. I look, babyface Chris Jericho always stinks. What was being done previously, you know, with Kenny Omega right up until very recently? It stunk. It's not his thing. But the minute Jericho starts to have the possibility to just flex the fact that he's an asshole, it just works. It connects and it's good. And while last night's segment was a little iffy, you know, I thought it was a little on and off personally. At least Jericho was able to portray something interesting, something that had some teeth in it. And I think this is one of the reasons that Hook looked so much like a goof last night, because again, in my opinion, because he's going up against one of the most charismatic stickmen that has ever been in pro wrestling. And I think the match, look, Jericho is going to be so incredibly generous in this match. He's going to give so much because that's been his MO ever since he dropped the world championship way back when. Jericho just gives and gives and gives in the ring. So he's going to be extremely generous. He's going to do everything in his power to make Hook look good. And if Hook has a modicum of how to work with what he's given, if he's a modicum of a pro wrestler, basically, this might turn out to be better than a lot of people expect. But I know a lot of people are already tuning out because it's Chris Jericho and so on and so forth. And I understand that. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know. I'm more around a six than anything else.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. But with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club Slab Pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, ah, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You can display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived, and really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys, reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
For the match, I'm at like a 4. I don't know that these two work particularly well. I think Hook's kind of been exposed, which is natural for a guy that's had like maybe 60 matches in his career on national TV. He's not a bad prospect or anything, let's be clear, but I also think we're starting to see, he can't, his strikes are a little weak. He's not the best at selling, stuff that you'd kind of expect to some extent with a guy his age. But I also think that Chris Jericho is finally going to set up a desperately needed heel turn. He's been a face way too long. Like Warren said, he is not better as a face. He's better as a heel. And I think he just kind of floundered for months as a face. I think they were going to set up some angle with Omega before his insides try to become his outsides. And that's an unfortunate thing for Jericho there because it was completely messed up his direction. And But I do think Jericho could still add stuff as a high level heel who is putting over the next generation. I think the whole like Jericho Vortex thing is a little over the top. I don't think that there's really been anything that he's done that's hurt anyone. I do think it's fair to point at people that have feuded with him what the follow-up was by AEW management, but that's a management issue, not Jericho. But yeah, I think this is mostly about what Jericho is going to do. I assume we'll see a heel turn, so we'll see how that goes. And hopefully it'll be entertaining. Speaking of not really heel turns, but I guess betrayals, we've got Kyle O'Reilly challenging Roderick Strong for the AEW International Championship. Which was set up on the Last Collision primarily, I do believe, which I definitely watched. Please don't ask me further questions. Guys, what do you think about this one? Tyler, I'll go to you.
Nine. I could care less about the story. Just these are the type of guys that, hey, I need a 12 to 15 minute banger on a pay-per-view. Just go out and do shit. These are the guys that you throw in there. And you have O'Reilly and Strong with their history together, and you'll be able to kind of build off some stuff. And this is where I really like AEW, because if you know nothing about Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly, I think the story that they've built is enough where, you know, you can understand it. But those of us who have a real background in their history together and the matches they've had and their time in factions, they're going to be able to lay some little Easter eggs that are just going to pop the hardcores without really hindering the viewing experience of those who don't know. And I think AEW does such a great job of that. I think they're going to layer some stuff in here. They're going to continue to build whatever the hell the storyline is. All I know is I'm glad this is taking center stage for the Undisputed Kingdom, because the Adam Cole stuff stinks. And I'm really excited to see Kyle O'Reilly in a big spot again, because it felt like he was going to get an opportunity before he broke his neck 2 years ago. And look, just let him go do fun shit. I can't wait.
Warren, your rebuttal.
Oh, there is no rebuttal. There is a, we are going to prop up Tyler's thoughts. I'm at an eight for this. Look, it's the kind of match for the wrestling sickos, right? It doesn't matter. They could still be friends and do this match. I don't care about the betrayal. You know, they did that at Battle of the Belts 10, by the way, Fred, which you absolutely watched, you know, just so you know.
Oh, I definitely watched that. Yes. Yes. You know, I did not overdose trying to watch everything from Mania Weekend and just been like the next week not watching wrestling as much as possible. No.
No, that's absolutely where it happened, right? I just wanted to, you know, gently refresh your memory, because I know that there's a lot of stuff going on. No, I'm on your side. The match in and about itself, like, I don't mind. I don't care about any stories here. This is just like Tyler said, these are guys that are going to go in. They're going to wink, wink, nudge, nudge at their history. If you don't know that this move was done as an homage to this match they had in 2010, Ring of Honor, whatever the fuck, like, it doesn't matter. You're going to see two guys doing cool stuff. If, and only if, and this is the caveat, if Kyle O'Reilly is still Kyle O'Reilly, this is the reason why I'm not going all the way up to nine, or maybe a little higher, because we don't know in what complete physical shape Kyle O'Reilly is in. You know, he had a match which was fine, but other than that, like, is this the guy who can still deliver on that level? I hope so. I really do, because it's Kyle O'Reilly and he's tremendous, and I want him to have these great matches still, especially against Roderick Strong. But fingers crossed that it is. We'll see how it goes. I'm excited. I'm legitimately excited for this match.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to. I'm going to go at a seven just because of the possibility of too much shtick from the Strong side. I think that's a possibility just because of the way the gimmick's gone. But I do think this could potentially be a very good match. On a somewhat related note, because Roderick Strong breaks backs, I spent most of the past week doped up on muscle relaxers because I woke up one morning and because it was too cold all of a sudden, I had back spasms for almost a whole week. So, you know, I'm just like Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly, just a top-level athlete, me and them. It was seriously just completely pathetic. I just, you know, like on day four is like, why? And it's because I'm old. All right. Our next match. And I'll add the bonus question here. Is this match actually going to happen? Is we have a house rules match for the AEW TBS championship with Willow Nightingale, accompanied by Stoney Hathaway, presumptively Wikipedia getting out over their skis, against Julia Hart, who did a grand total of 2 moves this past week and did not come close to taking a bump. Warren, where are you for this one?
I'm about halfway. I'm at a 5. It's mostly buoyed by Willow Nightingale, if we're being honest, because I think Willow's tremendous. Severely underutilized, I think, in AEW's plans for their women's division. But that being said, this is a match that has a fair chance to not even happen, because we don't know if Julia is cleared. The angle on Dynamite last night was clearly designed to Adam Copeland and Brody King do most of the heavy lifting so that Julia could just stay on the side and do managerial interference, you know, a little chokehold here, a little trip there, so on and so forth. You know, she basically did nothing. They seemed optimistic that she'd be ready to go by this weekend. I don't know. I'm a little skeptical. Either way, it'll be good. Then, if she's injured again, if she's hurt again, maybe it's a good idea to take the title off of her. You know, regardless, we know what this is leading to anyway. I think even if she was healthy, they'd still take the title off of her. Willow's winning this one. I don't know. Like, if everyone's okay, I'm looking forward to the match. That's pretty much it.
Tyler.
I'm with you. I don't know if this match is going to happen either, but I got to say, I'm a sucker for Julia Hart. The way she has developed she's still pretty green in between the ropes, but my God, the girl is what, 21 years old?
Yeah, and she's got the presence down.
She can command a building. I'm so glad that they ended up putting her at the House of Black, because I remember at the time we were just like, why? This whole thing is dumb. Well, it worked out real, real well. It's not working out for Sky Blue like that, but that's a whole different story. I would love to see Julia hold the title till Double or Nothing and Monet getting her big win over Julia Hart. And then you build to something down the line with Willow. And I don't know if Willow's shoot hurt or if it's just storyline, but I kind of like the idea of it's not being Willow and Monet at Double or Nothing, because it feels too fast. It feels like it's not really a buildup. Like, and I think you can do more. Maybe that's a Wembley match where you have Willow challenging her for the title at Wembley, and you give them a few months to really get a good solid build behind it with like maybe some tag matches and stuff and develop that storyline rather than just, oh, I slipped off the top rope and shattered my ankle against Willow. Like, that, to me, that's not a good storyline. Willow didn't break the ankle. Monet did. So I want there to be more teeth to it. I want there to be more reason why Monet is trying to take down Willow. It just feels like she's bitter and doesn't have, like, hey, a relatable enough reason to want to take her out. So I hope that Julia retains. I hope that we get that at Double or Nothing.
Yeah, I'm at like a 4 for this, just because I think even if Julia's healthy, I don't think it's going to be a particularly great match. It'd probably be fine. It's not a knock on it. I think this is all just kind of a setup for various other things. I've convinced myself that Statlander is turning heel here, possibly with Stokely and a betrayal of Willow. But I feel like the Mercedes stuff has continued to be kind of curious, though I think her promo last night was her best to date in AEW. I also think it's really hard to tell because she's, I think, you know, pretty clearly she's supposed to be a babyface, but her entire demeanor is heelish. So I feel like that's kind of a tough spot to be in. I guess we'll see what they're going to do with her. It's kind of an odd presentation, I feel like, for Monet so far. But, you know, this should be, you know, if it happens, it could even do like the, oh, we got a bunch of matches we want to give extra minutes to, so we're going to do a 2-minute gimmick finish here. That's really more of an angle than a match to protect an injured worker. So I think that's very much on the table. Next up is for the AEW Continental Championship, Pac is challenging Kazuchika Okada. Warren, I will go to you to start this one. 1 to 10, where are you at? You're on mute, my brother. You're still on mute.
There we go.
There we go.
Hey, you know, we've only been, you know, we've been using these things since the pandemic, like 4 years ago, and you know, we still managed to screw this mute stuff up. Yeah, I'm at an 8 for this. I'm very stoked for this match. You know, when Okada was on, you know, was signed, or even before, when people were speculating, you know, people were rubbing their hands together and they were going, oh, imagine we're going to get Okada versus Ospreay in AEW. We're going to get Okada versus Omega in AEW. Oh, we're going to get Okada. And rehashing these great matches, nonetheless, that exist. But people were excited for matches that we've already seen. Right. And whereas I was like, well, what about the matches that Okada hasn't had? What about those? These are the ones that I'm particularly interested in. And this is a prime example. Okada versus Pac is tremendous. And I think this is a great way for both guys to stretch their legs a little bit, because Pac's coming back from injury. This is going to be his first big match since returning. And Okada had a solid match with Eddie Kingston, but you know, you also know they could go above and beyond as well. I'm excited for this one. I'm excited for a big time pay-per-view heel Kazuchika Okada in 2024 going up against, you know, Pac, who's just a violent little son of a bitch. And you know, Okada can take it, you know, he'll welcome it. It's just good stuff. You know, this is the good stuff. And this is another one where I don't care about the story. You could have any kind of tale woven around it. I don't mind. I don't care. This match has me going. It's gonna be dudes doing stuff. Let's go for it. I'm excited.
Tyler, 1 to 10.
4 million.
That's four not on million. The scale. That's weird.
This is how we do things on The Good, the Bad, and Hungy. Look, I am so excited. Pac versus Okada. Where I believe it at the same period of time in like 2018, 2019, they held two of the biggest titles in Japan at the same time, the IWGP title and Open the Dream Gate. Man, we know Pac is eating the fall here. We know that. It's how they get there that I'm really, really, really excited about. And seeing Pac eat a Rainmaker, Okada's going to lay that sucker in like he wants to kill Dragon Gate himself. Like, it's going to be so good. And him working with a flippy-do guy like Pac, because Pac's not a normal flippy-do guy. He's got the submission element. He's got a real power game to him as well. I think this could just be absolutely outstanding, and it could end up being the best match on the show, because this is going to be Okada's first AEW pay-per-view. He's going to want to show out, and it's going to help really, like, we all know Okada. Okada has been in canon for a while, but a lot of American fans probably don't know Okada like we know Okada, and he's probably going to want to really show out, and then that could help boost television ratings as well, because they haven't seen the real Okada yet outside of a Forbidden Door match that was kind of meh and a four-way match that was also kind of meh. So I'm really intrigued to see what they do here. And like matches like this, to really introduce them to your more casual, less hardcore fan base. And I know we talk about the myth of the casual fan, but let's be honest. there are fans that just turn on Dynamite and get pay-per-views. They don't watch Collision. They don't watch Rampage. They don't watch other promotions. So opportunities like this are a really, really big deal. And I'm excited to kind of see what that looks like.
Yeah, I'm at a 20 on this one. I mean, at least.
Was I supposed to know that I could break the scale? Like, I want to break the scale.
Hold on, Warren. Hold on. You opened the show that say, and you said that you listen to us. Yeah.
What kind of a listener are you?
How many times a heat check do I blow the scale? It's like, well,
listen, I didn't know it was permissible for me to do it. That's the point. You know, I'm playing by the rules here.
Look at Tyler. Do you think he knows math?
Hold on. Okay. It is 100% fair to make fun of me for a lot of things. Math is not one of them. I had offers to take math classes in college at the age of 10. So back right, off, well, bucko.
Okay, fine. My low blow has been.
That's a true story, by the way.
Nice. I just had to get the cheap shot in. Well, Warren, now that you understand how numbers work and that limits are imaginary, do you need to adjust your number?
No, it's fine.
All right, it's fine. All right. Yeah, I'm super excited for this. It should be fantastic. And I'm hyped. All right, next up, tournament final for the World Tag Team Championship. We got 20 minutes here to get through four more matches, so we got to speed this up a little bit. It's a ladder match. It's FTR versus the Young Bucks for, is this the fourth time? Is that right, I think?
In AEW, yeah.
Yeah, AEW, yeah. Warren, what you got? Tyler, what you got?
I'm at an eight for this one as well. I'm very high on the eights. This is not going to stink. This is going to be very good. It's a ladder match, but I'm one of those who's living through ladder match exhaustion. But you know, maybe it'll be more of a tool rather than a centerpiece, if that makes sense. Hopefully they use them, but not like to create, you know, crazy tinker toy contraptions and all of this nonsense. That's what I'm hoping for. Look, I think this is going to be very good. I think the Bucks are reinvigorated. I think this whatever they're doing right now, well, whatever they're doing, the EVP stuff, as if I don't watch the show, the EVP stuff is, I think it's reinvigorated them. I think they feel... I think there's a spark there that wasn't necessarily there before. Maybe it's just the change in climate and everything backstage, but it feels good. They feel good. Energized, motivated Young Bucks is good for the audience. It's good for us. And FTR is going to try, is going to keep up with them, but is also going to try and outdo them. It's going to be tremendous. I'm really excited for this match. I think the Bucks are going to win. They should win, I think. This new elite incarnation needs all the gold. I also think Jack Perry is showing up here. I'm really excited. I'm another match on this card that I'm really stoked and looking forward to.
Warren asked about the second coming of Christ. Said, yeah, it'd be pretty good. Eight and three quarter. Tyler, what you got?
I'm at a nine, and I didn't think about the Jack Perry angle, but what I did think about was Motor City. I think this is where the guns debut, and I think they attack the winners here. What I really want out of this match, other than, you know, a really good match that I think these two teams would be able to put together, I want to see coming out of the Cody Vader, I want the each of the Bucks standing on a ladder. And I like, even if it's just one of those small, like little three or four step ladders, because, you know, they only have so much space, I want to see them on a ladder coming up out of it, because I think that'd just be cool and sick as hell. Plus, it would fit the demeanor of what their characters are. Like, look, it's Bucks and FTR. I know Wembley didn't exactly tear the house down. There were so many different elements that kind of contributed to that. But yeah, it's I'm really excited.
I'm at an eight. I'm a little pessimistic on this one. I do think like the Young Bucks are fantastic, probably the best tag team ever. And FTR is one of the like top five or 10 at a minimum. But I feel like these two teams never work well together is the thing. They always seem to have disappointing matches for one reason or another. And I just worry that it's just going to continue with this. And Hopefully they'll just be able to have a great match. You know, I do imagine there will be Jack Perry involvement. It would make the most sense. Maybe it'll be in the post-match, who knows, but I think it'll be, it should be very exciting. It should at least be a great match, if not, you know, an excellent like match of the year contender. Next up for the AEW Women's World Championship, we're continuing to pedal our bike, but it's a penny farthing because it's a silent movie. Thunder Rosa is challenging Toni Storm for the AEW Women's World Championship. Tyler, where are you for this one?
Six. They've really been pushing the notion that Thunder Rosa has never been pinned for the title. So it kind of tells me that Toni Storm's getting the scalp here. But I'm just kind of sick of the whole Toni Storm thing. I want the split with Mariah May, and I want it now. I want development. I want this whole character to just go away. And I think they've done a much better job with it over the course of the last 6 weeks, kind of evolving it and making it less hokey. And I think it's fine now. But I want the old Toni Storm. You hear that music drop, and you see Mariah May come out, which, by the way, she looks fantastic in the Toni Storm gear. And initially, I really thought she was Toni Storm the first time they did it, because they did it so well. But I want that old Toni Storm back, where she's just going to beat your ass in a match and not have to worry about throwing a shoe. Like, I don't want that crap. I want an ass kicker back. And maybe Thunder Rosa can bring it out of her, but I want more evolution. And unfortunately, I just don't see us getting that here, and that's why I'm a little low.
Warren.
Yeah, I'm this is probably the match I'm lowest on. I'm probably around a four for this one. And it all hinges on Toni Storm and this gimmick that has bogged down her reign. This reign has not been good. We just have to come to grips that the Toni Storm gimmick is probably super over with people. I never really cared for it, and now it's just annoying. But you know, her, you know, winning the title off of Shida back at Full Gear, that was not a good match. Her match with Sky Blue that she had on Dynamite, that was not a good match. Neither was her defense against Riho at World's End. Neither was the Revolution match against Deonna Purrazzo. Like, none of these matches have been not even great. And I'm not even trying to raise the bar unnecessarily. Just good. Just the floor of being good. And this is Toni Storm, who we know is capable of great matches, is the thing, right? So the gimmick is fine as long as it doesn't impede on the match. And now it's impeding on the matches, and it's impeding on the quality of her work. And unlike Tyler, I don't think she's losing. I think she retains. I think they're hanging on. They're going to hang on to Toni Storm right into Forbidden Door, because they've established stuff with Stardom, with Mina Sharikawa. I mean, this isn't... They're going to use Toni with some crossover elements with Stardom, which is great, by the way. I can't even imagine her having going into a Stardom match and thinking she's going to have a Stardom style fight doing the Toni Storm gimmick. It's going to be nonsense, and it has been nonsense. This has to come to an end, but it's not ending here.
Yeah, I'm in the same room with you all. I just cannot. I think we kind of had a little bit of a dawn where it looked like maybe Toni Storm was kind of figuring out a way to balance the gimmick along with having just a normal ass character, but it kind of turned into a false dawn because, you know, with Deonna Purrazzo, the match underdelivered, and now she's kind of, I feel like we've had less Toni Storm than ever with the gimmick change over the past pay-per-view cycle. And, you know, it just feels like it's very much we're stalling in place. And I wonder if they're trying to hold off for Jamie Hayter's return so she can be the one to beat Toni Storm once Mariah May turns and costs her that match. But I'm not super hepped up for this. I don't think Thunder Rosa has looked amazing in her return. Toni Storm has not had really a good match in quite a while. So, yeah, I'm at like a four on this one as well. Will Ospreay, Brian Danielson, straight up singles match, all start 1 zillion. As many stars as there are in the universe, and there are infinite stars, to steal the old Brian Alvarez line. I am beyond hype for this. Every time that I kind of let this slip out of mind that this match is happening because I'm thinking about other things, it'll come back to me and I'll be like, yes, it is. This is a thing we'll get to see and it'll be excellent. It's very exciting. I can't wait. Warren.
Oh, 1 billion on the scale. There you go. This is the match that sold the show, right? This is the one, this was the first match they announced. Tony knows what he was doing here. This is one that everyone wants to see. You can only clap your hands and sing along and be happy to be alive, to be here at a moment where Will Ospreay, the greatest in the world right now, against Brian Danielson, arguably still one of the greatest in the world, as Brian Danielson's parade of dream matches continue. It's tremendous. There's nothing really I can add as, you know, in analysis for your audience, for anyone else listening. I am assuming that anyone listening to your show already knows what Danielson and Ospreay represents, and they need not be sold on it. I think everyone gets it. I think we're good. I think we all understand why this is going to be tremendous. And yeah, I mean, this is the match I'm most looking forward to on the show.
Tyler.
Infinity. There is no true number that can personify how incredible this match could be. And to me, it's not about that this match is going to be good. We all know it's going to be good. What the hell are they going to do in this match? Like, what kind of style is this going to be? Are we going to get like 2008 Brian Danielson? Are we going to get like 2016 Will Ospreay? Are they going to work like their modern day selves? Are they going to do mismatch of everything? To me, that's the real intrigue. The ceiling for this match is match of the decade. Like, if they only got 4.5 stars, I think we're all going to come on here and be, this was disappointing, because of who these guys are, how consistent of workers they are in big spots, and especially Will Ospreay. Ospreay just had a 5-star match in his debut full-time in the company against Kenosuke Takeshita. Like, these guys can wake up, take a shit, and not even pour their first cup of coffee and have a 4.75-star match. Like, that's the kind of talent we're working with here. And I want to see how they build it. I want to see how they put it together. I also want to see how they captivate the crowd. I want the bell pop. That bell pop is going to be nuts. And wherever Rich Krejci is watching this show, he's going to be freaking out. And I cannot wait.
Yeah, this should be absolutely fantastic. I can't wait. And then finally, we got 10 minutes left, less than actually. So we have Swerve Strickland challenging Samoa Joe for the AEW World Championship. Not only am I going to ask you, you know, what your score is on this one, but who do you think should win and who do you think will win, if that is different? Tyler, I'll go to you first.
I'm at a 9.5 for this. For me, I'm really excited about the outcome of this match because we had a very long conversation that is up on YouTube if you want to seek it out, youtube.com/voiceofwrestling. Where all we did was we just broke this down and talk about the pros and cons of taking the belt off of Samoa Joe and putting it on Swerve Strickland, because Samoa Joe shouldn't lose. But you also have to kind of strap Swerve up here because of how you built him. The crowd is begging and pleading for it. We on this show have been begging and pleading for it for 15 months to give him a world title run. But you also have to take the belt off of somebody in order to give him that run. And do you really want to take the belt off Samoa Joe? Because he's been a phenomenal champion. He has righted the ship from all the crap that we got at the end of 2023. And he's been so, so, so good. Arguably the best run of his last 10 years in professional wrestling. Do you really want to take that away? And that, to me, is the real intrigue here. These guys are going to go to war. They're going to want to kill each other. They've built this match so, so well. And I'd belt up Swerve. And I just think you have to at this point. Because you have this guy. And we saw what happened with WWE. We saw what they did with Sammy. We saw what they did with Cody. Yeah, they righted the ship, but it was a year later. And you can say, oh, it was great for the story. No, it wasn't. You have this mega baby face from the other company. You belt him up and you say, screw it. And I think you have to ride the wave of Swerve. And especially going into summer. Summer is when people stop watching television. And I mean, they're already stopping watching television, but they stop even more. So now that you have Swerve as champion, he's going into summer. You have Double or Nothing. You have Forbidden Door. You have All In, which, let's be honest, he's probably dropping that belt to Will Ospreay at All In. You have an opportunity to give him, hey, we're going to belt you up in this time period where we're not expecting to draw nearly as well. And if he draws big, like I think he might, it, like in AEW terms, not in an overall sense, I think that could really solidify him as a top guy for a long time. And then you have Hangman Page return after Wembley, and he beats the crap out of Swerve. And now you have Swerve back in a feud with Hangman, and they finish it up. So that's kind of what I would do. I can't wait. This is going to be great. And to me, it doesn't really matter if they have the three-way at Revolution. These two are going to tear the house down.
Yeah, I think this is a 10, and I think it's also like a defining kind of booking decision. I think it's, you know, this isn't actually, one could argue, the most important booking decision they've had to make since Samoa Joe beat MJF for the title last year. I think they're in a very perilous position with Swerve, where if he loses here, you know, he could lose a lot of momentum, a lot of support, and because I don't think he's really like an established top guy. And I think it's just so important that he gets this win, is proven to be a main eventer, gets his moment, gets to be like, yes, I am a world champion, I'm a top guy in this company. And I think that, you know, he has to win this. He absolutely has to. I think Samoa Joe has been a fantastic champion. I think that in a vacuum, there's nothing wrong with him winning and continuing to be in that role and continuing to be a top guy. But he's Samoa Joe. We know what he is. And God bless him. He's a fantastic performer and everything. But he's just absolutely in a position where if he loses this match, he's still Samoa Joe. I don't think it'll make one iota of difference in terms of his popularity or AEW's ratings or business or anything. Swerve Strickland, you've got to find out what you got with him while he's hot. We've seen it several times in this company and several times in wrestling history. But I mean, look at Wardlow. Look at Toni Storm with the original gimmick when she was super over. Various other examples of these people that have been very popular. Ricky Starks a couple times, very popular, and then they've seemingly fallen off the face of the earth. And you cannot do that with Swerve Strickland at all. He's just way too popular right now, and it's essential that he get this win, get to put his stamp on his run on AEW and declare himself a proper main eventer in this company. And, they got to do it. They got to pull the trigger. Anything else, you're trying to outthink yourself, frankly. You just got to take the simple path, and he's got to get the win. And they need to do that. They need to not be dumb about it. And hopefully they won't be. I think it'll be a very good match. I don't know. I don't foresee like a 5-star thing because Smojo's reached a point where, you know, he is what he is, which is still a damn good worker, but, you know, somewhat limited in stamina, I guess. And, you know, there's some flaws there. He's an older guy. That's okay. Better shape than me. I think it's going to be a great main event. I also think it is probably going to be at best the third best match on the show, which is not a knock on it. It's just a big thing. And I think the most pressing thing really with Swerve Strickland and AEW right now is the addition of Will Ospreay in particular. We can talk about Okada and, you know, we can talk about the other top guys in AEW. But frankly, Will Ospreay has come in and felt like the top guy from day one. He just has that aura, and it's not even a knock. It's not a knock on Swerve at all. It's not anything like that. I'm not saying that Swerve needs to be dropped to the bottom of the card or anything at all. I've been yelling for Swerve Strickland to be given a world title push since the beginning of 2023. Check the tapes.
We both have.
Yeah. I think I was a little in front of you, but I'm also going to insult your math ability one more time without checking if it's accurate or not. But yeah, like it is essential that Swerve Strickland wins this match and be treated like the main eventer that he should be. That's it. I'm done repeating myself.
No, I'm in complete agreement with both you guys. I'm at a 9 for it as well. I think I am a proponent of you have the match, do it. You know, anything can happen in pro wrestling, injuries, contracts, so on and so forth. You know, there's many instances in the past of pro wrestling where we didn't get things because people wanted to wait for the perfect weather. You know, it's like, you know, I had a girlfriend, you know, who wouldn't want to go hiking unless like it was absolutely perfect weather. It had to be like in this perfect range of warmth and no clouds, no rain. It had like, it just had to not too much sun, right? Because you don't want, you know, you don't want it to be too, so you end up never going hiking, you know. So at some point you do have to pull the trigger. You just, so, you know, I don't want to repeat everything that Fred and Tyler said because I share exactly the same opinions. The one thing I would add is, you know, on top of it all, because yes, you know, there's the uncertainty of what Swerve can do as a top guy, as a champion. No one knows exactly because he's never been in there in that position. And that's the point. That's the point. It is shuffling up your top guys, adding someone up there, creating someone new that you can go to or no longer go to after. Sometimes you just have to try some stuff. You know, it's a criticism I hear frequently regarding New Japan Pro Wrestling, where they book themselves into a corner essentially of always having the same guys on top. Now they have the young guys, they're not doing anything with them. So now the company has to go to John Moxley to freshen things up with the guy that they feel confident about, so on and so forth. You know, at some point you just have to try. You have to go out there and you have to experiment. And it's going to be on Swerve to make this worthwhile. You know, of course, company has to be behind him. He has to be booked properly. But once he's in the position, once he's in the matches, once he has the mic in his hand, so on and so forth, it's up to him to make it to make it his own and to create that space for him, which I feel confident he'll be able. You know, I see this to a degree like a Hangman Adam Page situation, where I feel like everyone who was around for the Adam Page World Championship run were like, well, it's a good run, but it's not the definitive run, right? Everyone's sort of expecting that second Hangman run to come along and to be the one where, God damn, this is the one that we've been waiting for.
The 10-pole run.
And I think we can, I think it's fair to extend that same type of courtesy to Swerve at the same time, where, look, and I'm speaking through my hat, he hasn't even won yet, but, you know, let's say he does win and he picks it up. He's a first time world champion, first time at the top of the company. There's going to be slips. There's going to be hits. Hopefully more hits than misses. And then roll around for the second one. They need another top guy. They need someone fun, fresh at the top. Audience is behind them. What are we doing? Pull the trigger. Joe was tremendous, but, you know, otherwise what? We enter another season. AEW then creates its own finishing the story situation. And I don't think that's a good thing.
I agree. And that is Dynasty, our preview. Mr. Warren, hey, thank you for joining us. Get your plugs in, please, sir.
Oh, well, guys, thank you very, very much. I was very excited to get the invitation and I was very excited to do this and share some space with you. Thank you so much, Tyler, Fred, for having me on. It's been tremendous. You guys are awesome. You guys know you're awesome, but it's always nice to be reminded that you're awesome. As for me, the Mr. Warren Hayes Show, that's what I do over on my side of the internet, over on youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes, or you can find me on your favorite podcast application as well. where I break down the news for the week. I do reviews and all that stuff. Plus, I have a weekly Dynamite review on top of it all. So, you know, you listen to Tyler and Fred, and then you head on over to me, and then you compare and contrast, and then you have a lot of fun deciding on who's your favorite podcast, because you have to choose a side now, folks. You can't just, like, enjoy things. You have to pick a side. So that's what I'm looking forward to. So please follow me, and I'm also on Blue Sky with Fred, so you can check me out there.
Tyler, send us home.
Like, comment, all the fun things. Leave us a 5-star review. And subscribe to the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel, where we drop clips from the show semi-regularly. I'm Tyler. He's Fred. He's Warren. Don't be a transphobe. Have a great day.
Bye, everyone. Thanks, Warren.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.